coming here, in hearing the choir, I realize how lucky I am to be serving two churches, that I get to worship twice on Sunday with two wonderful congregations, and I am blessed by all your efforts. So thank you for that blessing in my life. Let us pray. Gracious God, you draw us closer to you. We have heard your call and have answered it. As we listen to your holy word, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our lives so that we can carry your goodness. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. When I think of the wilderness, I typically think of a forest or a jungle, something teeming with leaves, with trees, animals, and insects. There are not many forests in the Middle East. So when the Bible talks about the wilderness, it is referring to an area east of the Jordan River. This is a more desolate place, filled with rocks and hills. We would probably describe it as a desert. When I was a child, our family would go to Joshua Tree National Forest in California. We would camp there, climb the rocks. Although a desert, it is a land teeming with life. There are jackrabbits, roadrunners, bighorn sheep, lizards, snakes, squirrels, foxes, coyotes, bobcats, tortoises, and all kinds of birds. This is what I imagine when I envision Jesus going out into the wilderness to be tempted. It is a harsh environment who challenges all that live there. But even in the midst of this hardship, there is still life. Back in Jesus' day, the wilderness was a place that one would go in order to find God. a place of spiritual pilgrimage. Judeans would fast, pray, and contemplate how God had led their people through the wilderness for 40 years. It was a place to recall that they were the chosen people of God. And this land tested one's ability to survive. For in the desert, you have to rely more fully upon God. And do we not often go also to the wilderness for many of these same reasons? Do we not build Christian camps and spiritual centers in wild places so that we can go up and gaze upon God's splendor and creation, to draw closer to God, surrounded by nature, surrounded by life? As we put away technology and the worries of this life, we are drawn closer to our Lord. One of my elders in the church I served in Michigan reflected that it was on a deer stand which he always felt closest to God. Perhaps many of us too can relate. It is in such a context that we find Jesus fasting 40 days and 40 nights. This was no small feat. I have difficulty fasting a couple of days. I couldn't imagine fasting a month. Jesus must have progressed in his ability to fast for such a long time. But no matter the preparation, it would have taken a toll upon his body. It would have physically weakened him. It is in this physically weakened state that the devil came and tempted Jesus. Almost as if the devil's voice was coming from Jesus' own head. Isn't that how we are also tempted? When we are vulnerable, do we not also hear the slithering voice of doubt creeping upon us? Satan, which tempts us to do what we know is wrong, telling us, is it really so bad? Go ahead, you can control it. It is only this once. It will not hurt anyone. The devil begins to tempt Jesus by questioning his authority. If you really are the Son of God, prove it. The devil often challenges our pride. He preys upon our vulnerabilities. Jesus was famished after 40 days of fasting. What would it hurt for him to change some stones into bread? If he could turn water into wine and do it for some wedding guests, what harm would it be for him to feed himself? But in so doing, he would have committed the same sin of Adam and Eve, questioning God's provision. Jesus bent his will to the will of God and said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Strike one for the devil. Looking at this, we might say, sure, he was Jesus, the Son of God. Of course he could follow God's will. But we are only human. But Jesus was also fully human. He suffered the same temptations and vulnerabilities as the rest of us. Yes, he was one with God. But that does not mean that he did not suffer as we suffer. There's a difference between being tempted and being tested. Jesus, after all, teaches us to pray not to be led into temptation. But Jesus was led in temptation. We all are tested in our faith. The devil knows our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities. When we pray not to be led into temptation, we acknowledge that we are weak. And as we deal with these temptations in our daily lives, we too are tested. For some, the temptation is power and achievement. For others, it is money and greed. It could be addiction or lust. Any area of faith which we find difficult to trust God. We each have our own problem areas where we get off track. But Jesus comes to set us right again. He alone paid the price for our sins. He alone has the power and strength to withstand the devil. He too can come and defeat sin within our own lives. If you find yourself being tempted, pray to Jesus. Say to the devil, "Get behind me, Satan." But also, talk to others about your vulnerabilities. It is why groups such as AA or support groups are so effective in helping to fight the temptations of our past. Because the devil likes us, wants us to be alone. But in Christ, we are never alone. Next, the devil continued to challenge Jesus and tells him, "If you really are the Son of God, throw yourself down upon this pinnacle, and certainly God will save you." The devil questions the very love of God, as if to say, "Let God prove his love to you." The Israelites wandering in the wilderness cried out, "Why did you bring us here to die?" Where they failed in the desert, Jesus succeeded. He replies, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Strike two. God's love is always with us. Ultimately, we know in whom we can trust. We can trust the one who has defeated temptation, the one who has defeated sin and death, the one who bled and died for us. As the hymn says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." We can rely upon him to strengthen us. Here is another useful tool in fighting temptation. When tempted, then sing a hymn or a contemporary Christian song. There is power when we sing the truths of our faith. If you don't remember any hymns, then sing the doxology or the Gloria Patri. Even Jesus loves me. Do you notice that we do not feel so alone when we sing? The power of the song is a potent tool against Satan. But it is also a potent tool that can be used by Satan as well. As Christians, we do not separate ourselves from the world, and there's no reason why we cannot enjoy popular music. But we must realize that secular music has both dark images and images of light mixed together. We should be aware of the voices being sung around us. We need to ask ourselves, is this God's voice or Satan's? Finally, within our passage, the devil takes Jesus to a mountaintop and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He says to him, "Bow to me, and I will give you power and prestige." The will of man is often corrupted by avarice and a false self of oneself. Wasn't it the sin of Adam's desire to be like God? How often are we tempted by money, power, and our own self-importance? We desire control. But when we seek control, instead of handing it over to God, we hand ourselves over to the ruler of this world. But Jesus replies, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Strike three, the devil was out. The wilderness exists in all of our lives. Any place which tests our ability to trust God. It is a place where we are forced to rely upon his grace. The wilderness can be our job. It could be in our homes. It could be in our neighborhoods. Growing up, I found my family and its dysfunction to be a very wild place. But it was also a place where I was loved and I was cared for. The wilderness can be a school, it can be a college, any place where we feel vulnerable. It is a place where we are tested and tempted. As I look around, I see the fellowship of the saints here. Worship here is a place to become and strengthened. We, the church, the body of Christ, exist for one another. We are here to strengthen one another. We are your wilderness survival training. Come to church, not because you are expected to, but here you will meet God. Here is a place where you can connect with others. Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered, there I am also." Participate with one another. Fight temptation. Love God and love one another. All praise, glory, and honor be to Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome all temptation.
Amen.